So we shall go to our topic, that is from, we have various passages, so we shall go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You see in verse 7, we have a prayer there. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. We read there, "Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified." Verse 9 also, another prayer is there, "We are glad when we are weak and you are strong, and this also we pray, that you may be made complete." You remember in our last study, we considered a very brief prayer of Paul from 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. Paul says, "Oh Lord, come." That can be a prayer for throughout our life, even the beginning of this year. "Oh Lord, come." Because there Paul spoke to us, or we have seen there how Paul was ready, always telling Lord, "Lord, you come." He's ready to receive the Lord. He's ready to go to the Lord. And he was so assured of his presence to be with the Lord. He was confident. And he says, "I love the appearance of Christ." And so many things we could see from there. I'm not going to those things again. Now, here, how many prayer points are there? How many things are there in this prayer? It's up to you to consider. You see verse 7 carefully. Look at it. "I pray to God that you do no evil." So that's a prayer point. No? "I pray that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable." So that is another aspect of that prayer. Do no evil. Do what is honorable. Though we may seem disqualified. And verse 9, in the end, "This also we pray, that you may be made complete." So there are three things. Now this evening we will consider only two things from verse 7. "I pray that you do no evil." Now that simple prayer shows, I think, at least three things. In most of those prayers, you know, we have seen in this pattern. This is the pattern in which we see all the prayers of Apostle Paul, generally speaking. What is the reason why Paul is praying for the Corinthians? "I pray that you do no evil." What is the reason? Number one, very basically speaking. You also think about it, you know. That will help us. What forced Apostle Paul to say or even pray, "Oh, I pray for Corinthians that they may do no evil"? That means there is a possibility. No, very simple. There is a possibility. So that is the first thing we need to remember, our vulnerability. We are weak at any time. Any Christian, any believer may fail. Now there is no... It's foolishness to think that I will never make a mistake or he will never make a mistake. The Bible says very clearly, we will go to those verses, Romans 7, even though you know it, some of you know very well, no doubt, but still we can see that in Romans 7, Apostle Paul says in 19 and 20, he says, "The good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. If I do what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Very clearly Apostle Paul says, the reason why any Christian, born again believer, may fail at any time. What is the reason? because of the sin nature. The sin nature that indwells in every Christian. Now Apostle John says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And we deny the truth is not in us. And Peter also says, you see those verses. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Now, I'm not going to the details of all those things, you know, sin nature, flesh, the old sin nature that dwells in us. But this much we need to remember, the reason why a Christian can fail is because of the indwelling sin nature within us. But Peter says in 2 Peter, another reason why a believer can fail at any time. What is the another reason? 2 Peter chapter 2, you see verse 20, he says, a reference is there, he refers to it, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world. Now that much only. And it speaks about a believer who saved, escaped the pollutions of the world. That means the world has so much pollutions. You know it very well. Evil is around us. The reason why a Christian can fail, because of the sin nature within us and outside around us, there is so much pollutions that can defile a Christian, that can tempt a Christian, that can influence a Christian. So the world around us. So I gave you two reasons. Okay. The third one, another reason. Now you tell me. Another reason why a Christian can fail. Now Paul's prayer is, I pray that you do no evil. Now we are considering the fact that there is a possibility for a Christian to do evil. That's why Paul is praying. Why? Because of the sin nature, because of the world around us, and because of the evil one, Satan himself. Peter himself says in chapter 5, verse 8, you know that verse, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Devil moving around, looking for an opportunity to devour us, to destroy us. The evil one, with all his tactics, with all his devices, moving around to destroy a Christian, using the sin nature that is in us and using the world around us. So there is a possibility for every Christian, any Christian, to fail at any time. So what shall we do? Like Paul, we need to pray for ourselves and for others. Lord, help them that they may do no evil. Help me that I may do no evil. We need to acknowledge the truth that there is a possibility to fail, and we need to pray for one another. We should pray for ourselves. And even we need to, I don't know if it is right to say, sympathize with the fallen ones. It's not right to sympathize. Oh, how we need to sympathize with the fallen ones, because they have fought but failed miserably. And we all fight. We all are engaged. No, some time ago we considered that spiritual warfare. All of us are engaged in the warfare, and some Christians, they fail, and we need to pray for them, and we need to sympathize with them. We need to help them, and we need to pray for ourselves and others that we may not fail. So the first lesson that we can learn from the first prayer of Apostle Paul is our vulnerability, our weakness, the possibility to fail at any time. So always we should be on our guard. Always we should pray prayerfully, be careful. Okay, the second thing, that prayer shows another thing very clearly. I pray that you do no evil. That means, that shows Paul wants to say, I understand that you may fail. I know you, there is a possibility for you to fail, but that doesn't mean that you should fail. Our responsibility. What's our responsibility? Now, there are certain Christians, you know, believers who believe or think that salvation will be lost. You know that. They have no assurance of salvation. At the moment a Christian commits a sin, they think salvation is lost. But we, the assembly, or even Baptist believers also, we who hold the truth of the assurance of salvation or security of salvation, they mock at us and they say, oh, that means you people can commit any sin, your salvation will not be lost. So they say that according to your belief, according to your doctrine, you can keep on committing sin, because sin nature is there. Because salvation will not be lost, so you can keep on committing sin. That is not right. Paul very clearly says, you should do no evil. So that prayer shows another aspect. What is that? It's our responsibility to be away from evil and sin, even though there is a possibility to failure. It's not a license to commit sin. It's not a permission to commit sin. See, there are few verses. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4 verse 7. Very interesting, very meaningful verse it is. Genesis chapter 4 verse 9. The Lord spoke to Cain, and he says there in the end of verse 7, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should overrule it. No, you should rule over it. Sin lies at the door. It's your responsibility. Sin lies at the door. Sin has a desire for you, to capture you, to defeat you, but it's your responsibility to rule over sin. So we can never justify our failure because of the sin nature, because of the bad influence around us, or because of any other thing, world or even satanic devices. There is no excuse for our failure and sin. You see, in Romans 6:12, Apostle Paul says in Romans 6:12, Romans chapter 6 verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Not to allow sin to reign in your mortal body. Chapter 12 verse 9, abhor that which is evil. You see, chapter 12 verse 9, abhor what is evil. Now there are many other verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. That's another meaningful verse on how a Christian needs to be away from evil. Paul explains or refers, you see, abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from every form of evil. So, there are many other verses. I'm not going to those verses. Peter also says, let him turn away from evil. When Corinthians, Apostle Paul said, referring to the example of the Israelites in the Old Testament times, it's an example for us that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. There are plenty of scripture portions telling us, as a believer, what we should do. I want you to answer. I want you to think. We should occasionally commit sin? No. Be away from all kinds of evil, all forms of evil, all kinds of evil. remembering or being aware of the fact that there is a possibility to fail, but it is my responsibility to be away from all kinds of evil. So we live very carefully, prayerfully, humbly, but I may not fail. God may not allow me to fail. So Paul says, I pray that you may commit, you may do no evil. Two things we have seen from there, our vulnerability and our responsibility, our weakness and our responsibility to lead a holy life, a pure life. What else? Anything else? Paul's prayer shows another thing. What is that? Paul's prayer shows, even though we are weak, and the responsibility to live a holy life is so severe. So severe means it's not easy because of the sin nature around in us, the world around us, and satanic forces working against us. And we need to live a holy life, and we are in between. And Paul says, I pray God will help you. That speaks of our resources. Our resources means, you see, Paul refers to prayer, that prayer itself shows prayer helps. If we come to the Lord for ourselves and for others, seeking the help of God, seeking the strength of God, the grace of God, we will be able to lead a holy life. That's what Apostle Paul says there. I pray, my prayer will help you. My prayer will help me. Prayer can help us. How? How does prayer can help? How prayer helps us in our victorious Christian life? Or I believe that refers to the resources in a summarized form. Now you tell me, what is the provision of God? What are the provisions of God to help a Christian to lead a victorious Christian life? Any clue? Now you should know all these verses. Our resources, the blessed privileges that we have. Now here it's only about prayer. But we go a little further. As we go to the Lord in prayer, what we get? We get the strength of God. That's okay. But something more is there. Let's see few verses, then you will know it very well. In Romans 7 itself, there where Apostle Paul spoke of that sin nature and says, oh wretched man I am, then he says, in 7:24 he says, oh wretched man I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God, 25, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Lord Jesus Christ is our help. I'll come there. You see, in 1 John 2:14, another thing John says about a victorious believer. Young men, you have overcome the wicked one. How? What is the way? Which way they could overcome? 1 John 2:14. In the end it is written, you are strong, the word of God abides in you, you have overcome the wicked one. So there we have the word of God. The word of God dwelling in the heart of a Christian, making him strong and helping him to overcome satanic forces. Okay, another thing. Romans 8:13. There Apostle Paul says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So three things are there. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, then the Spirit of God. You know, see in 8:13, if by the Spirit of God you mortify or you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So the Spirit of God that who indwells within us, the Word of God that is in our hands, it is in our hearts, and the Lord Jesus Christ in glory, resources for a Christian to lead a victorious Christian life. In 1 John 2:1, you know very well, my little children, I write unto you that you may not sin, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous one. So the intercessory prayer of Jesus Christ helps a Christian to overcome. The indwelling Spirit of God strengthens a Christian to overcome. And the Word of God that is in the hands and the hearts of the minds of a Christian empowers him to be victorious in spite of all the weakness or the influence or bad influence as we are facing around us. So all these things, the resources assure our victory over evil. So Paul's prayer, I pray that you may do no evil, that speaks of our vulnerability, our weakness, and also our responsibility to live a holy and a pure life, to be away from evil, all kinds of evil, all forms of evil, and our resources in prayer. We can come to the Lord and we can appropriate, we can make use of these resources. As we come to the Lord in prayer and study of the Word of God, we come to realize so personally that the resources we have, what are the resources? The intercessory prayer of Christ, the indwelling Spirit of God, and the Word of God. All these are resources that helps a Christian to lead a holy and pure life. Okay, the second aspect of that prayer, second prayer point, what is that? You should do what is honorable. You should do, now in some translation you will see what is honest, some translation, or in some other translation it is right. Actually honorable is much more better, because the word there, the original word meaning, I think is my memory is correct, that the original word is found only here. The word, whatever it is actually kalos, forget about that. That is found only here. Okay. And the word means honorable, beautiful, excellent, eminent, commendable, admirable, and so on. Okay. So the honorable is the best word. So Apostle Paul says, the first prayer, what is the first prayer? You may do no evil. And second prayer is, and also you may do what is honorable. Now what does it mean? Again, that prayer gives us some idea, you know. What are the lessons, or what lessons we get from this prayer of Apostle Paul? You may do what is honorable. You may do what is commendable. You may do what is respectable. You may do what is beautiful, excellent. Now all these are the meaning of this particular word. Now that shows three things again. That shows three things. First one, it's not enough to be away from evil. Now you need to notice that carefully. It's not enough to be away from evil things. Believers, Christians are supposed to do good. Christians are supposed to do beautiful things. Our life is not simply not doing something that is there. Oh, we are away from evil. We are not doing that thing, this thing, that thing. But we have to do certain things. Beautiful, honorable, respectable things. Let's see a few verses. In Isaiah chapter 1. The Lord God, Jehovah, calling upon the people of Judah to come to him. He says that you come, we shall, reason together. Then he says so many things there. He says in 16, wash yourself, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil. Okay? That is same thing. Put away your evil. Put away the evil things. You wash yourself. Cease to do evil. Put a full stop to all the evil things you commit. But that is not enough. Then the Lord says, verse 17, learn to do good, seek justice. Few more verses we shall see. We read from Romans 12:9, there we read, abhor that which is evil, but then something more Paul writes there. You see, Romans 12:9, abhor what is evil, then, that's not enough. Cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. Similarly, Peter also says same thing. You see, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. There we see, let him turn away from evil and do good. Of course, it's a quotation, no problem. So, all these verses say the same thing. Now, this is something quite often we don't pay much attention to. Oh, I don't do that thing. I don't do this thing. Very good. Godly man. I don't do that. I don't do this. We don't do that. That's very good. But the Bible says we need to do certain things good, respectable, beautiful. We cannot simply say, I don't do. We need to make sure that whatever we do are beautiful. See, here the idea is, it may not be sin. We are not simply trying to see whether whatever I commit is sin or not. That is not only the issue. We have to see what I do, or the way, whatever it is, what I do, what I say, how I live. It's not sin. That's okay. Is it acceptable? Is it beautiful? Is it excellent? Is it respectable? Is it honorable? Honorable. That is something we need to remember. Not only not doing something wrong, we need to do something that is really honorable and commendable. Now read another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. Apostle Paul says the same thing there. We get another idea there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. You see, we read there, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So, see, that's a responsibility. Paul says, providing honorable things. Actually, in King James Version it is, we aim at what is honorable, not in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. We aim. And that's something little more meaningful. No, we aim. That means, Paul is so purposed. Paul purposely, consciously, making every effort to live in such a way that his life is honorable in the sight of God as well as in the sight of man. What a great responsibility we have. Very sad to see, you know, nowadays we live in such an area, such an era, such a time. God's people are tempted, or God's people or Christians are as very difficult to to classify, or very difficult to think what is right for a Christian and what is not right for a Christian. So many things are not evil for the world. So many things are not evil for the friends and the neighbors and even our co-workers. But let me tell you, we need to remember, we need to be ashamed of certain things that we think. We don't give any attention to those things, whether it is honorable to God and to man or not. Do you understand that? I'm repeating it. The idea. See, we live in such an area, such an era, such an age. The people of the world find no mistake, no sin, no dishonor, no bad thing in so many evil things. Many evil things are good for the world, but not for the word of God, not for God. not for God. We need to remember, based on the word of God, a Christian should examine his life. What I do, the way I live, what I speak, it is acceptable to God and man. Is it honorable as a Christian? As a born again Christian, can I do it? As a born again Christian, is it honorable before God and before man? That is something you need to remember. How Paul says, you know, we aim what is honorable in the sight of God and the sight of man. Purposely. And see, there are a few more verses. I just want to skip those verses. You see, in 1 Peter 2:12, that also is good to consider. Apostle Peter says in the among the Gentiles, see, 1 Peter 2:12, we read there, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers among the Gentiles, your behavior, your conduct should be honorable, excellent, winsome, beautiful. Now we need to examine our life and lifestyle, behavior, walk, whatever it is really acceptable, honorable before a Christian. Not enough to be away from evil, but we need to do commendable things. We need to do respectable things. We need to live in such a way that people will look at us and respect us. Wondering the beautiful, the honorable life that we live. Our life, our words, our activities. So that's the first thing about Paul's prayer on, you know, that you may do honorable things. We are supposed to do certain things that are honorable. Okay. And what is the second idea? Similar. Paul's prayer shows that it is true as our responsibility to lead a honorable life. Many a times there is a possibility for a Christian to behave, a Christian to do things that is not so honorable. That's a Paul pray, no? The reason why Paul is praying for Corinthians is there is a possibility for Corinthians to behave in a dishonorable manner. In a manner that is not at all worthy. It's possible. And we also may do that. Now what is the reason? What is the reason why a Christian may commit things, speak in such a way or behave in such a way? What is the reason? Think about it. Already we refer to sin nature and the evil world and satanic forces. That's there. Apart from that, anything is there? Did you understand what I am trying to say? It's not about sin. Here the question is not sin. Here the question is respectable life. Honorable life. Life that is acceptable. See, remember, not all right things are good for a Christian. Not all right things in the sight of man, right things in the sight of society, right things in the sight of even the land, the law of the land, not acceptable to God and the Bible, the word of God. That we need to remember. Not all right things are good for a Christian. So, what is the reason why a Christian may live or speak or behave in such a way that is not honorable to the God, that is not honoring to God? What is the reason? Apart from the sin nature, apart from the satanic forces and so on. Any suggestion? No suggestion you have. Yeah, that sin nature is there. You see, in Matthew's Gospel 25, there is a very good illustration about not doing the right thing. You see, in Matthew's Gospel 25-26, in that parable, the Lord say, see the, there's a parable there, 25-26, of the talents. In 26, we see that his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant." Now, what is that wickedness he committed? Here the Lord says to that man, you know, "You wicked and lazy." What was the wickedness? What was his action? What was his mistake? What was the wrong thing he committed? It was not, he didn't fight with the servants. No, he didn't do any kinds of so-called evil things. But he failed to do the right thing. He failed to do the right thing. What should have been the right thing? See, the master says, at least you should have given that money to whom? You know, the, who are those people? Fund collectors, eh? Okay. So, you should have given, you know. So, he failed to do the right thing. Failure to do the right thing, not necessarily evil. Remember that. No, what is the reason why he did that? It was his, he trusted on his logic. His own logic. And his logic is based on what? Naturally. His exposure to knowledge. The way, the more a person is, you know, not, I don't say qualified, the more knowledge a person has. Even the illiterate person also can be more knowledgeable, you know, as the days go by. If a person, the more a person knows all the things, you know, the Bible and the history, what is good. So, he trusted simply on his own logic and made a conclusion. So, the reason what I want to emphasize is, many a times we Christians also, we God's people also, we give more importance to our logic. Our conclusion. Our conclusion and logic is based on our ignorance. Ignorance of God's word. Ignorance of history. Ignorance of what is happening around. Many believers, many people, and based on their ignorance, they come to a conclusion, they do something, but that is not the right thing to do. That is not the right thing to say. That is not the right way to behave. So, logic, lack of knowledge, natural traits, temperament, I referred to temperament some time ago, and many other things. Influence of evil, of course. Influence of evil society. Sinful society is also there. And whatever it is, there is no excuse for evil. As a Christian, we are supposed to do that which is honorable. There is a possibility for failure. There is a possibility to fail at any time. So, in our behavior, in our activities, not necessarily we commit sin, but the thing that we do may be not acceptable in the sight of God. Not acceptable in the sight of God. We did something good in the sight of somebody else, the society, but not in the sight of God. So that we need to consider carefully. Now, come back to that verse in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, 16 and 17. There, when God called upon the people of Judah to come to him, there the Lord says another thing there. Notice carefully there. He says in 16, 17 beginning, learn to do good. Now what does it mean? Learn to do good. Now what does it mean? Learn to do good. Because to do good is not something that comes automatically. You have to learn it. You have to practice. What is that? To do good. So it should be consciously, regularly, one has to practice doing good. Honorable things, the Lord says here. Now another thing, verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You see here, Apostle Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now what does it mean? That means, in order to learn to do good, in order to learn to, do honorable things, we need to begin from where? Begin from where? Our thought life, our minds, our mind, our inner man, or our thought life, or our imaginations. You see, when our mind is filled with things of the world, when our mind and our thoughts are filled with things of the world that is acceptable to the world, and our action also will be like that. We need to think divine. We need to think according to God's mind. We need to think according to the word of God. So Apostle Paul says, you think pure things. You think just things. You think noble things. You think things of praiseworthy and so on. So we need to begin from where? Mind. Our imaginations. So Paul, when Paul says, I pray that you do what is honorable, Paul wants to say here in Philippians, that should begin from your mind. You should have a practice of thinking good things. You should have a practice of imagining, thinking on honorable things. The moment something not honorable comes to our mind, Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I arrest it. I capture all the imaginations and thoughts. That's what we also need to do. So two things we have seen from that prayer. What is that? It's our responsibility not to simply be away from evil things. We need to make sure our life is honorable. And secondly, we need to remember that at any time in our Christian life, if we are not careful, we may speak, we may behave, we may live in a life that is not acceptable, not honorable before God. So the third thing, similarly, the prayer of Apostle Paul teaches us that we have the help of God. We can have the help and strength of God to live a honorable life. That's very clear. God will be able to help. So Apostle Paul is praying for Corinthians. We also need to pray for ourselves and others that our people, we all may do things that is honorable. Now we have 2-3 minutes more. I think I should better to stop, There's a clause there, in between. Twice he writes something else. Very interesting thing it is. I'll explain it maybe later. Not that we should appear approved. Though, and again, in the end of verse 7, though we may seem disqualified. Now what is the idea? That idea I'll explain later. Because already my time is, 8:30 now. So, Paul's prayer for the Corinthians. Two things he prayed. You may do no wrong. And that shows how we are prone to sin, commit sin or err, our responsibility to overcome, and the resources that we have, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ prayer. And secondly, his prayer is, you may do what is honorable. That is, we should not be simply away from evil. We need to do honorable things before God and before man. And any time there is a possibility to fail because of various reasons, and we have the help from God, we need to practice, learn prayerfully to live honorable life, respectable life. So let us examine our life according to these prayer points. We need to apply these things in our life. Are we aware of our weakness? That we are prone to failure at any time. Are we aware of it? Are we aware of our commitment, our responsibility? Are we committed to our responsibility, that is to win over evil or sin, and are we aware of our resources and benefit from those resources? Is our life honorable, and or are we just trying to be away from evil and not giving any care to our honorable life? And may the Lord help us that from our mind we may learn it. We may begin from our mind to think respectable things and lead such a life that is honorable to the Lord. And finally, God's grace is available. Paul says, I pray, so prayer is enough. And we can come to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, you help me that I may do no evil and I may live a honorable life. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts.